Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Yeah! This is Rob Bradford. I'm at the Baseball Isn't Boring Studios, otherwise known as the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And a reminder to everybody, the Red Sox on WEI is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. And as I said, I could have picked any car, anything at the Hertz dealership, yet I picked the Ford truck. Big truck. Big honking pickup truck. Every time I say that, your eyes light up, huh? There you go. Driving around L.A. saying, hey, look at me. I'm just covering some baseball. Talking to Kenley Jansen. Talking to Torrey Hunter. By the way, Torrey Hunter, I've said by the way too many times. I apologize to the listeners. Torrey Hunter had a great conversation. I said, how close were you to catching that ball? And he had a fascinating take. But you're going to go have to check out the Baseballs and Boring podcast to listen to that.
It's pretty cool that he's like open to talk about.
Well, evidently he somebody told me that he usually isn't.
Oh,
but he seemed fine when I talked to him.
Caught him on a good day.
Why would he be against talking about it?
He didn't make the catch.
He didn't make the catch, but I still
he was. But he really was legit. Cool, the one of the things that he was legit, like upset, not upset at me or anything, but upset that he like that whole scenario played out.
It was the low light of his career.
He talked about how everybody else would have just like that last step would have like drawn back, but he just kept going because it's like I'm number one. I'm so pissed that Joaquin Benoit threw a changeup when everybody knew the Red Sox had his changeup. And number two, you know, it's like this was going to be my meal ticket to the World Series. What's happening? What's going on?
The other thing too is his career highlight is a catch he did not make.
Like yeah. The most That's not true.
Like the most frequently played Torrey Hunter.
No.
I'd say the most frequently
around here.
It's the Barry Bonds.
Around here. No.
Around here, sure. Yes, it's his career highlight in Boston.
But
Sammy's right.
His main highlight is the All-Star game.
Oh, true.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Take that back.
I take it back.
Okay.
He was also just a very good player with a really good career.
Strike that from the record, Tom and Jason. All right. Strike that from right. Just take that out. All right, well, we had mentioned before the break, and if anyone wants to call in and join this conversation, 617-779-7937, go ahead. But we had talked about, was there a way for the Red Sox to avoid where they've landed now, which is on the precipice, and I'm not being – this isn't hyperbole – on the precipice of not making the playoffs. That's fair to say now, fellas,
yep.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
this 2.5 up of not making the playoffs.
I'm not going to push back.
Okay.
Push back.
All right. Okay. So is there anything they could have done different? And I want to go around the room. There's a round table discussion. All right. And you guys are looking to the sky. You're trying to figure it out. Anybody want to go first? All right, Sammy, go ahead.
I think the biggest thing you could point to in terms of stuff they can control, which means I'm taking out injuries, is the trade deadline. And we've gone over this ad nauseum. The Dustin May acquisition, we didn't get it at the time, still don't get it now. It has been, I think you could call it a disaster. And you could have gotten a more reliable starter. Didn't need to be Merrill Kelly, who was the best rental available, unless you want to count Bieber.
You know what it could have been? Ryan Burgert. Ryan Burgert's been awesome.
Yep. Ryan Burgert, it could have been,
It could have been Charlie Morton.
Morton's been
Although
all right.
He's taking a turn for a little.
Yeah, Adrian Hauser even. If Savali's been okay.
You know,
Zach Littell.
Zach Littell, another one.
Shane Bieber.
You know, but
so that's my answer. Is I think the deadline kind of half measuring that. Shout out Breaking Bad. Half measure there. That kind of is coming back to hurt them, and it's something you can't even quantify because the way Cora has to manage the pitching staff is so drastically different compared to if he had one more starting pitcher.
Okay,
yeah,
Gordo.
He's 100% right.
Ooh,
thank you.
To me, the questions started instantly because Dustin May is a guy with an extensive injury history in all parts of his body. And he's not, with the Dodgers, he was not having a good statistical season. With a guy who you want to maybe put in the lab, you know, we're gonna fix this guy. You need more than 2 months.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
May I? Because you raise a good point. if you're looking at who they identify after the Joe Ryan, forget the Joe Ryan thing, forget the Sandy Alcantara thing, forget that. In terms of identifying the guy, the guys that were realistically you could get, what they did was they prioritized. This is one of the things that's wrong in baseball. They've done a lot right. Breslow aced the offseason, a ton right.
Yep.
But what they did wrong, and I don't know if this is too many voices, too many cooks in the kitchen, different philosophy, whatever it is, but what they did wrong was one of the things that drives me nuts, which is we're going to prioritize the Dustin May acquisition was the ultimate. We're going to prioritize what we think he's going to be instead of what he is. Mm-hmm.
And there's too much of that.
There's too much of that in baseball.
But it's okay if you're signing a guy to a contract, like a 2-year deal or even a 1-year deal, and you've got the offseason and spring training to work with the guy. You're throwing this guy right into a playoff race, and you're expecting him to make changes to necessarily the pitches he's throwing, but to how often he's throwing specific pitches. You're going to experiment with him. And it's like, no, we need results right now. Get a guy who's giving you results right now.
I wonder.
Even if the ceiling's not.
No, I wonder. So, okay, we've talked about Merrill Kelly. I mean, before, Pat, you get to yours. But we talked about Merrill Kelly. The other guy for me was Shane Bieber. And Shane Bieber was, and I've cited this a bunch of times, I feel like this was like sort of the Kyle Schwarber 2021, where you're able to get a guy a little bit cheaper because he wasn't going to pitch for a month. Now, what they gave up, I think, their fifth prospect, a pitcher from AA that Toronto did. Could you have gotten a similar package where the Red Sox gave up a pretty good prospect that they got in the Devers trade, right?
James Tibbs,
and a couple other guys.
Could you have beaten it?
Obviously, you could have beaten it. But should you have prioritized that over Dustin May? And the answer, of course, is yes. Like, that isn't a second guess. That's a first guess. Anyway, Pat, go ahead.
No, I'm going to agree with both of them. I think at the deadline, there are two things that they absolutely needed. It was health and innings out of the starting rotation. And sure, like they got caught up in the Joe Ryan talks, and they didn't get Merrill Kelly. There is quite a list of guys who are better options than Dustin May. Dustin May was a guy who was already, if not on the cusp of being kicked out of the Dodgers rotation to the bullpen, DFA'd, whatever. He was a guy that he wasn't a rotation piece when they traded for him, and they expected him to come in here, completely revamp it, make him a rotation piece, make him someone that can go every fifth day, and it didn't happen. Me and Sammy, we were talking about it when we were walking over here. Aaron Civale, Adrian Hauser. Like, a body who is healthy and can give you innings is better than Dustin May. And I, to this day, am not even less confused by the deal. I'm just as confused.
You know, it's not funny. For nothing. You would have given up less for a guy like...
Easily.
Right.
Easily.
Yeah, like, you know, Civale. What's funny is at the time of the Dustin May trade, I remember saying to you guys, oh, I like this move, thinking there's no way this is the only starting pitcher they get. I like this move because it's an extra body on top of whoever they're inevitably going to acquire, because there's no way they would just leave it at Dustin May. And then here we are talking about how they left it at Dustin May.
Yeah,
and they thought they were getting Joe Ryan at the time, too. Remember when that came out?
Yeah, and then there's the other part about this. When we talk about what they could have done, and obviously you were talking about starting pitching because that is the thing that was right in front of them. That was what they proclaimed being the priority. But as we sit here right now, a big issue also is reliable, the Kyle Schwarber of 2021, a reliable bat. At that time, though, I'll give them a little bit of a pass because there wasn't that logical spot. There just wasn't. And I think maybe one of the things that they missed on, this is where I'll say they did miss, is overvaluing Yoshida. I think they kept tying themselves in a knot, and I know he has the contract, but they kept tying themselves in a knot saying, oh, he had a bad shoulder injury. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. But it hasn't been better. And every time, and every once in a while, he might get a random hit, an extra base hit. But it comes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show. When you look at this lineup, who is the guy that you feel like, okay, the game's on the line, you feel like they're going to get that done? Yoshida had his opportunity yesterday. And there was no sense of that, zero sense of that. And there hasn't been a sense of that. And really, like, that was the thing when Roman Anthony went down. Like it or not, Yoshida had to be a guy. He was a lefty hitter. He was filling in.
People begging for him to get a shot. Here it is. And he hasn't really done much.
No. Anyway, Mark in Florida. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Bradfo, great to hear you as always. Listen, I don't think the pitching is the problem. The lineup is so inept There's no big banger. And allegedly, and Rob, you would know this, we could have had Yandy Diaz for Rafaela. And if we have such a surplus of outfielders, who cares? We need a veteran, battle-tested, right-handed bat. He's hitting 290, 25 homers. Like, that's what we're missing.
And I don't disagree with you, Mark, but they, from what I understand, talking to people in Tampa, they were never going to trade Yandy Diaz. Wasn't going to happen. So, and you know, I know that his name was being thrown around by people, but it wasn't going to happen. But that doesn't mean, you know, you couldn't say, because one of the avenues that you thought that you looking back, Mark, of what actually was the thing that you say, all right, that's what you need, was first base. You remember, Abraham Toro was already sort of taking a turn for the worse. Romy Gonzalez, you know, he's moving around. So first base, as we found out when they got Nathaniel Lowe, how impactful that was when he was good, like that could have been a thing, absolutely.
Bradfo, can I say one more thing?
Yes.
My big fear with this ownership group and this management team is that because we're having a pretty good year, all things considered, they're going to think we're good enough to run it back next year. We may even lose Bregman, and we're good enough. We'll put Marcelo Mayer at third, and we're fine, and we're not going to make any big additions because, look, we won 86 games. We made the playoffs, and we're just fine the way we are. That's what I'm so afraid of. They're not going to go and get a Schwarber or an impact bat, and it's what keeps me up at night as a fan of the Boston Red Sox.
I don't blame you, and thanks for the call, Mark. Great call. I don't blame them. I'm like, we don't know how they're going to approach. We knew how they approached it this past offseason. Once again, A-plus, man, A-plus for this offseason. Mm-hmm. But we don't know how they're going to approach it. Are they going to do the thing of like, okay, here come the guys, here comes the next wave, but does anybody say, oh, yeah, Jess Nixon Garcia, he's going to be the answer to your problems next year? No. Like, you still need to keep building this certainty, the Bregman-type certainty. Kyle Schwarber is the guy.
Yes, he is.
Yes, let's go.
Please.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to do a trend. After the break, by the way, it's your big moment, Gordo. Pay the Piper for a second straight show. You do not know something, so you have to learn it the hard way. All right? Gordo inspiring the Red Sox with a miracle speech. But first, we're going to trend.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right, welcome back, everybody. The Baseball Isn't Boring Show, live from Fenway Park, the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And a reminder to everybody, the Red Sox on WEI is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers in the New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Well, people are buzzing around here, Lansdowne Street. Yankees, Red Sox, must win Saturday, fork in the road Saturday, rubber meets the road Saturday.
Must win.
Must win. Yeah, I said that, must win.
Say it again.
Okay, must win. And, well, because of that, because of the urgency of the moment, and because of your lack of knowledge when it comes to anything but baseball, in this case, not knowing what the Miracle movie is about, Gordo, we are allowing everybody to – it's like it's paying off for everybody. You're going to learn exactly what this is about, the most iconic – one of the most iconic sports movie, one of the most – iconic sports moments, one of the biggest comebacks, and also one of the most iconic speeches ever delivered in a movie. And there is nothing better. This is the Rudy on the stool speech, as I say.
It's based on a true story, too.
As I expertly described exactly what it was all about, you once again, you put another layer on your ineptness when you said, was that based on a true story? No, I made it all up. No, I did not make it up. It was the 1980 Olympics. It was USA versus Soviet Union. It was Herb Brooks giving the speech. And as I said, the reason we're doing this, not only is it to educate you, because we're all about educating you. You educate us so much on the great game of baseball so many times. We're here to educate you about every other facet of life, including this. And in the meantime, why we're doing that along the way, we're also inspiring the entire Boston Red Sox team where this is fork in the road Saturday. They need this inspiration, Gordo. They need you. Gezo, put that stool up here in the Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio. Stand on the stool. Everyone gather around. Crank the volume in the Red Sox Clubhouse because you are going to give them the speech that is so important, that it's going to rile them up, that it's make it come out of the gate and have a 10-run first inning against Max Fried, that they are going to get back on track. They are going to go on a roll. They are going to go into October. Roman Anthony's going to be playing in the World Series. All of it. And it's all going to be because of the words that are going to come out of your mouth right now on the Baseball Isn't Boring radio show. Gordo, get on the stool and give the speech.
Ooh. Oh, this is perfect. Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have tonight here, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game or two games. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we play baseball with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest baseball team in the world. You were born to be baseball players, every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired about hearing about what a great baseball team the Yankees have. Screw them. This is your time. Now go out there. Take it.
Oh!
You must win games. Let's go.
All right. Producers, Tommy, the man behind the mic, the man behind the glass, the straw that stirs a drink. Out of 10, what do you give Gordo?
So I love that movie, and that speech is special to me. And the fact that he changed some of the words to be baseball-themed, I can't. Like, maybe a 5.5 out of 10.
Oh,
you want me to inspire the Red Sox to be a great hockey team? Are we playing some puck right now?
The speech itself gets you fired up. It doesn't need to be baseball-themed.
I mean, in the break, too, Gordo said, I can't. Timmy, the producer, is not going
to
like this.
Don't listen to a word Joe says. I've never not known your name. That is nonsense.
It's okay, Gordo. It's okay.
No, it's not okay. Don't act like I didn't know your name.
I've never seen Gordo so fired up when you insinuate that he's not a good person.
I don't like lies.
I'm not insinuating it. Braverman is. Let's make it very clear. I think
Braverman's lying.
Jason, the newcomer,
the
person whose life started today with as soon as he heard Ace of Spades and yelled McFarlane, what do you give Gordo?
I think that adding the baseball ad-libs was a great call, and I give it a solid 9 out of 10. That's what I needed to hear.
How about you, Sammy?
This guy comes into the studio and on the podcast every time, and he gets stripped down to the bone due to his lack of knowledge on things not baseball-related. So to come in here, read the speech, adjust it for baseball, which I think is a good thing, not a bad thing. That's a 10 out of 10 for me.
All right. And Pat, Dr. Pat, what do you got?
My biggest takeaway from that is I now realize how quintessential the Midwest accent is in that speech. 7.5. If you did a Midwest,
had the accent.
A deep in it, just great opportunity. Like,
give me
opportunity. Opportunity.
Gordo is from Canada, so at least I think he is.
Yeah, he is.
Canadian.
I will say this. You know, I knew that you were going to say this speech. I knew what the speech was about. I applaud you for changing it to baseball. And because of all of it, even if I didn't know you, if I didn't know you at all, if I just called you like Gombo or something, right?
Gombo, yeah. If you were a producer.
If you were like a producer, if I didn't know you at all.
What's my name, Pat?
If I didn't know you at all, and I heard that speech, the people out here on Lansdowne Street, their face were pressed against the window. They're like sprinting up and down the road right now.
There are people crying.
I got tingles.
Yankee fans are leaving the ballpark.
That guy's trying to pick up a bus.
This is a reason why when I want Ace of Spades to as rejoins, I get tingles. I get motivated. The cougar goes in the car and the heart rate goes up. Everybody out here appreciates you, Gordo. Everybody appreciates that speech. You can get down off the stool right now, and there you go. All right?
Let's go.
Let it be said. Let it be done.
Two must-win games.
All right. Two must-win games.
We got it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
if they heard that, they're not losing tonight or today.
No. And of course they heard that. All right. So let's get back to what we started the show at, guys. And this is, we can give the speeches, We can give the hype. We can break down what they should have done at the trade deadline, everything else. But the reality is what their lot in life is right now, fellas. And their lot in life is, to set the scene, they are 4.5 back of Toronto, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, 4.5 back of Toronto. 1.5 back of the Yankees. They are a game up on Houston and Seattle, who are tied right now for the division / last wild card. And they are technically 3 games up on the Rangers, although it's really 2.5 because the Rangers own the tiebreaker. That's where you're sitting right now. Now, we've broken down the schedule, and in a nutshell, with the schedules with all these teams, they play some good teams and they play some bad teams. All of the teams. It's not like one team has this outrageously difficult schedule. I will say this about the Red Sox, and I don't know. Oh, Sammy yawned.
Oh, there it is.
Sammy yawned.
I was up late last night.
Oh, my.
Dude, we took a red eye.
Oh, my goodness.
Give me a break. Geez. I'm older than these guys. He's older.
All right. All 3 of you yawned. So you almost pitched the perfect game. Look at the. Honestly, for the Red Sox, I could make the argument.
I'm gonna make you yawn.
No. Usually if you see someone yawn, right?
I heard if you don't yawn when you're next to someone who does yawn, it means like you don't have like a personal connection with them. But if you yawn, it means you do.
Yeah, no, I have no personal connection with anybody.
Maybe we can do astrology.
No. Once you left the room that you were supposed to sleep in Arizona and slept on the floor, I lost all personal connection with you.
When Otis yawns, do you yawn?
My dog?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a deep connection with Otis.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Of course. Otis the dog.
I'm just
Otis the baseball's and boring dog. The only dog that I stuck a bunch of stickers to. Anyway, the Red Sox, you could make the argument that they have the toughest schedule. And why do I say that? Why do I say that, fellas? Because
science and math.
You don't believe I stuck a bunch of baseballs?
The way you said it was like getting stickers on you as a dog is like a big reward. And you're like, this is the only dog who got to get it.
Yeah, I want to identify in case he runs away.
It's like the dog callers have like a code or a number so you can identify the dog.
Yeah.
That's the baseball.
It's just like how you framed it as if it's like this great honor to have.
It is a great honor to have stickers.
What are you talking about, Sammy? What do you mean as if?
You want me to lift up my shirt? I have stickers all over my body.
Oh, I believe you. But the way you also said it as if like everyone knows this is a great honor.
Yeah, it is a great honor.
Sorry.
Ah! If I could give a dog a tattoo, I would give him a baseballs and boring tattoo.
Are you going to shave Otis and tattoo it on him?
I mean, maybe. I'm going to ask him. If the Red Sox win the World Series, would you do this? Otis? Sammy's doing it, right?
Yes.
Roman Anthony's doing it.
Is he?
Yeah, remember?
Kind of. He's the one under the kind of. He falls under the Zach Gallen, Dylan Cease. Zach Gallen and Dylan Cease actually had the best answers other than saying they would do it. They said, if you catch me at my drunkest in the celebration, then I'll probably do it.
Yeah.
Fair.
So we just got to get Mr. Cartoon to the celebration.
All right. Anyway, so the problem is the Red Sox, when we talk about where they're sitting right now, and you went through the Texas Rangers schedule. You bizarrely went through the Texas Rangers schedule. Not in order, but just like randomly.
Hardest to easiest.
Hardest, whatever it was.
I'm on Tankathon.
All right. Okay. So does it have what is the most difficult schedule left? For each team there on Tankathon?
It ranks the teams.
Yeah, okay. Who has the most difficult schedule? Because I'll tell you who the – I'll tell Tankathon who has the most difficult schedule. Go ahead.
It's the Red Sox.
Yeah, it is the Red Sox. It is the Red Sox. You have the Yankees, and then you have – I don't care you took 2 out of 3. The A's are a tough team. They can be a tough team. And then you have the Rays, who have been much, much better. I know that they've fallen off a little bit, but much, much better.
They're always tough.
They're always tough.
Never easy.
And you got to play, you know, Steinbrenner Field. You know what? Oh, give me a break.
Ew.
All right? But then on top of it, the biggest thing is I don't care if like Detroit has anything to play for or not. You have Toronto and Detroit, 2 good teams. And by the way, in case anyone missed it or it just came out, Tarek Skubal is going to – it looks like he's okay, and he's going to make his next start. So, there you go.
You want to hear the Yankees schedule or who they have left?
Let me do this. You have the teams that are in the mix, right?
Just the wild card teams.
Okay, the wild card teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, Seattle and Houston, and the Rangers.
Yeah.
Who is the tougher schedule?
Red Sox.
Who is the next toughest schedule?
The Rangers, or did I miss the Astros? Pat, where are the Astros? Yeah, Rangers.
Okay, Rangers.
And it's way down. Like, the Red Sox have, they say, the 6th, or it's not even they say, it's by win percentage. Red Sox are 6th. The Rangers are 18th. Oh, wait, no. Well, no, we're not doing
this. This is good. This is really good.
The Astros are 21st.
Yep.
The Yankees are 29th. Did I miss someone? Seattle's 26th.
Okay. All right. Once again, excellent job of
We're all over the place.
Thank you for going 8 to 29.
Who want to hear who the Yankees have on their schedule?
Yeah, I do. I want to hear who the Yankees have.
They have two games with the Red Sox, and after that, it's three with the White Sox and three with the Twins and seven with the Orioles.
Oh! Although Trevor Rogers, can you imagine if Trevor... Yeah, that's the Red Sox hope.
He's hurt. He gets this.
If Trevor Rogers can pitch all three games against the Yankees.
I think he's hurt. Didn't he just get hurt?
Did he get hurt?
Let me double check.
No.
I don't want to spread misinformation.
Well, I mean, that's the wake-up call right there, fellas.
But they got Tyler Wells? Is that Tyler Wells, the pitcher?
Okay.
He's back, and he pitched well his first couple games.
All right, that's the wake-up call right there.
He has a toe thing, but it seems like he'll be all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so does that going through that exercise, does that make you more nervous? Let me stop before you say that. When we started the show, we went on this diatribe, or I went on the diatribe, of making everybody understand the situation we're in. And then Alex Cora basically supported me with his quote. Can we give the quote again? Once again?
I got you. Just give
yeah,
me one.
Yeah, so Alex Cora, I started off by saying everybody should wake up and understand the dire situation, the potentially dire situation the Red Sox are in. And here are the numbers, here are the facts, here's the science, here's the math. And then somewhere along the way, Alex Cora meets with the media and he says this.
He says, I think we should stop talking October, to be honest with you. There's a lot of stuff going on and we have to play better. I'm not saying we're in a bad spot, but I think we have to wait, you know, to see if October is a part of this.
There you go. I'm sorry, I'm not saying they're in a bad, well, yeah, you're in the playoffs. If you said you were in a bad spot, then you would really be tipping your hand.
Yeah.
So, Does that, as we sit here, after when you walked in the door and you were talking about the inability to bunt and whatever else you're talking about, does this make you feel a little more anxious? Yes or no? It's Sammy.
No, because I've been anxious. I've been looking at the schedule, looking at the teams behind them and thinking, yeah, the Red Sox are good, but without Roman Anthony and with only three starting pitchers, it's going to be hard no matter what. So no, I'm at the same spot. I've been thinking like that for a while.
Okay. Gordo?
Well, this is why I've been saying the whole show that two must-win games here. I mean, you see the schedule the Yankees have. You see the schedule the Red Sox have. We've talked about just how important getting not just to the postseason, but getting that home field in the wild card round is. Even with that, Gordo,
you win these two games. You're half game up on the Yankees, right?
Right.
But you still have 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, but hopefully, I mean, if you win both these games, the hope would be you'd be, instead of pseudo 2.5, you'd be 3.5, or maybe even if you get lucky and it's 4.5.
Yeah, I still think you're being reactionary. I think that the Yankees are going through that schedule. That is such an easy schedule.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh my goodness, such an easy schedule.
And like, you get to the end of the road with some of these bad teams and they mail it in, you know, like,
well, their only hope too is like Detroit, you know, are they gonna start Skubal? You know, will they start Skubal? Like, will they run out their regulars? I don't know.
If they're going to get a bye. I was thinking about that before, but it's like if they're going to get a bye through the wild card round, starting Skubal during that series may actually line him up perfectly to start game one of the division series.
Yeah. All right, Pat.
I'm just as worried. I think the second Roman went down, I was worried. Okay. Cora's quote isn't.
But are you? Here's another question. Are you more worried? Like, everyone's tying themselves in the knots a little bit when Roman Anthony got hurt. Say, oh, well, they can maneuver it. I think one of the things is that, along with being the alpha, we talked about the need for the alpha, the guy that you say he's coming up, he's going to get the job done. They're desperately searching for that guy. The lack of a leadoff hitter is a very real thing.
Oh, yeah.
To me, now to the end of the season, if he's healthy, you have to go Romy leadoff every game. I don't care. Yeah. I think Jaron is so much better in the three-hole than leadoff now. But it's huge because we saw it last night. The Yankees score in the first inning. It just seems like morale kind of flipped. And then it feels
What would be the equivalent of what they did putting Yoshida in the leadoff spot?
What do you mean?
Oh, like there's always something where like we're going to give this a whirl and we're like, oh, that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, that would be the equivalent of calling up Kyle Barraclough to be the
ooh. All right.
Oh.
Why did they take Yoshida? Like, I know the numbers weren't great in Arizona, but two times he had a line drive that the pitcher's body had to deflect. I thought he was
fine. I couldn't do it.
You don't feel good about it, but no. Honestly, against righties, and then you have Bregman hitting second, so you don't go back-to-back righty against the righty to start a game. Like, I honestly, I would probably still lead off Yoshida.
I think if we, when we were in Arizona, if those two line drives he hit didn't get deflected by the pitcher's like chest or whatever it was. He would have three hits in that spot and a walk. It's not the best, but
Sammy's all in on Yoshida. Some guy just walked by with a Yoshida jersey. His brand has never been hotter. All right. 617-779-7937. We got one more segment to go before Joe Wild takes over for pregame show. Joe Wild been working the clubhouse. He's been around Fenway Park. Always good to see Joe. Does such a great job. We're going to do such a great job in putting the punctuation on this program. Baseball Isn't Boring Show. The Tales from the Road. Tales from the Road. Come, Pat, you weren't there. You can't talk. Tales from the Road. Oh, you can talk. You can say, oh, I really wish I was there.
They're going to call me out because I just yawned.
He turned himself in.
You have to leave. No wonder you didn't go on the road. Anyone who yawns twice can't go on the road. We're going to find out. We broke down a lot of important things today with the Boston Red Sox. One of the most important analytics that we have is how many times Sammy and Gordo went to Twin Peaks in the first 48 hours in Arizona. Be back right.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
After this. All right, let's go. Fenway Ford Clubhouse Studios. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with the playtesting guys, Sammy Gordo and Pat. We're here at Fenway, and we want the spirit of the fans. Everyone out here at Lansdowne Street, Gordo just got them fired up with his miracle speech. This is must-win Saturday. So who do we turn to? The person who we see right outside the glass, the guy known as Black Swan. Black Swan, what's up, man? What's going on?
What's up? Oh, the famous WEI. How y'all feeling today?
Oh, right. He's right. We are watching him make this call. Now, Black Swan, the first thing I have to ask you, are you familiar with the movie Miracle at all? No? Okay. No. All right.
It's called Miracle?
Yeah, yeah. The hockey movie, the speech.
Yes.
All right.
It's when... Okay, go ahead.
No.
You want me to explain? I do. It's when the Olympics... When the USA beat Russia, finally. Miracle.
Right, exactly. See, there you go. Already a leg up on Gordo. Gordo, who's right there, didn't know it. So, Black Swan, we made him make the miracle speech to fire him up, to fire up everybody. Now it is your turn, Black Swan. It is your turn to get these people fired up. It is your turn to give, to do whatever you do to get people fired up. Can you do that for us?
Well, let's do it like this.
All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Since I was a teen, I always had a mean hunger because I've been representing my team since I was younger. 420 meters at the Green Monster because, you know, Boston only sip out of Stanley Cuppers. As soon as I saw you through the window when I was out the store, I was feeling like I bumped into a young Bobby Orr. I appreciate you guys. Now we're outside of the yucky. Ain't nothing better than baseball, basketball, or hockey. Even the soccer gonna bring in the revolution. Look at Sean Penn. That brother's in there brought the solution. He said, baseball isn't boring. I appreciate you because Boston's always scoring. I can't forget the legend over here. Catch me if you can. My brother, I appreciate you. You'll always be the man. And I can't forget you, Tom Selleck. You are the host. And remember, as long as it's Fenway, we're always roast. Like Johnny Most. Swan Gang.
Let's go. All right. If that doesn't get everyone fired up, this Black Swan, you are officially, next time you show up here, you got baseballs and boring gear all over the place. All right?
I love you guys. I appreciate it. And please tell everyone to check out my music, Genghis Swan, on all platforms. GANGISSWAN. You
got
guys are legends. I love you, and I'll see you soon. Call me the time traveler.
Have a good show, man.
You guys.
All right. Member of the family. New member of the family. All right, Black Swan.
Black Swan.
Yeah, let's go.
That guy was so needed.
That guy has been...
I mean...
When I was a freshman in college, he would just go up to people, give them a freestyle, and then go on his way. He's the nicest guy, good energy, good at what he does.
He did not stop smiling, whether it was before he got on the call, why he was waiting to get on the call, why he was on the call, after the call. Like, that is, he is the spirit of what we're talking about. Everything about this, right? Between Gordo's miracle speech, between Black Swan, all of it. I mean, I don't know, like, this is like throwing three cougars in the car.
Can I say something here?
Okay.
My miracle speech, listen, it was great.
It was great.
But that was the pinnacle of pump you up. Like, that, you cannot beat that. They will not lose today. They will not.
Okay.
They will not. Must win game. Black Swan makes it a happen.
Now, as we said, we've embraced Black Swan into our community, into our family, into our baseballs and boring family. Hopefully we can have him not only stand outside the glass here, but be in studio as well, which would be awesome. So this is all about, Alex Cora talked about, let's not get ahead of ourselves with the postseason, but it is all about respecting the moment. It is all about respecting what's going on. The weeks lead, we are in the middle of September, and we have Black Swan sitting out there rapping about how important this moment is, how important, how awesome it is to be here at Fenway Park. We have Gordo getting on a stool in the middle of the studio to give the miracle speech. We have everybody out here understanding the magnitude of this moment. So I understand why Alex Cora said, hey, let's not talk about the postseason. But here's the thing, fellas. This is the postseason. This is it. This is it. Right?
We talk about rubber meets the road.
Rubber meets the road.
Right now, it really is rubber meets the road time.
You can't lose when you have Black Swan.
No.
He's rapping to Yankee fans outside right now as we speak.
Diss track. He disses people too.
Yeah, well, they're, again, I mean, this is the best weapon they have. You have to call all hands on deck. Alex Cora said this. All hands on deck. We're not doing pitch limits with Black Swan. He's not doing pitch limits with Peyton Tolley, Kyle Harrison, or Conley Early. Right? This is what this is about. Right? Correct, fellas?
Right.
I didn't see you yawning during Black Swan.
We legitimately all stood up on our feet.
Yeah, right.
I've never stood
raised
on the
your hand
I've never
air,
stood on the right,
and you all raised in your hands in the air like you just don't care.
No, this is the Black Swan thing that he does. He puts his hands like swan heads.
Everyone can see that through the radio medium. What was the thing I kept saying after seeing Flo Rida after the Red Sox?
It's
going down for real.
It's going down.
That is a fact. That is science. Hey, all you Yankee fans. It's going down for real.
They're shaking in their boots.
I don't know if you know this. Joe Weil, just a heads up, as you get ready for the pregame show, it's going down for real. All right?
We need that as the outro.
I also talk about getting fired up, getting pumped up, respecting the moment. I had the best. I'm just going to spoil this. I don't care because they won't do it, but they should. Maybe they will. I told the Red Sox people, I said, if you play the Yankees that first game at Fenway Park, there's only one human being who should throw out the first pitch. It's not even a question. And if they don't do it, I'll just say it. If the Red Sox don't do this, they're chicken. They're chicken. This is like the Cleveland then Indians were not chicken when they put Josh Beckett's girlfriend out to sing the national anthem and then God Bless America facing Josh Beckett at the mound, Daniel Peck, back in 2007, the ALCS. They weren't chicken. This, what I'm about to say, is what you have to do, Boston Red Sox. This has to happen. And it's going to be the last time I say it because they're going to soak it in, and then hopefully they do it. So I don't want to spoil it. You know what it is? Who should throw out the first pitch in a Red Sox-Yankees game at Fenway Park?
Paul Bunyan?
Close. Not Flo Rida. Maybe Black Swan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Whoever's throwing out the first pitch today probably should take a backseat.
Well, one of the things, so before I reveal that, you know how they had, Yankees had Fat Joe, right? And the Dodgers had Ice Cube.
Yeah. Yep.
How did the Red Sox not have Black Swan come out?
Black Swan.
I don't know. They should.
Buy Lil Wayne out here. Lil Wayne.
Yeah, Lil Wayne.
Why do we need Lil Wayne? We've got Black Swan.
They could collab.
Options.
I don't think Lil Wayne could do what Black Swan just did.
Ooh,
I genuinely. Shots
fired. Can we talk about it for a second? Like, he just calls in. Like, this wasn't planned. He was out the window, so we banged on the window.
Yeah.
And I flashed him the phone number.
Yeah.
And he called in and he freestyles. Like, this is what this guy
does.
He
also sniped the baseballs and boring off the hats and just threw it right in.
He called me. He called me Tom Selleck, but I don't have a mustache. I don't understand that part. I didn't understand.
He's a listener of the show. He knows the last time.
Oh, maybe it was being blocked. But I'll take Tom Selleck.
You have a mustache, but it's accompanied by the beard.
Oh, okay. I'll take Tom Selleck. But so to go back to keep this momentum going about what you can do to keep this vibe going, you know what I'm about to say. The only person that should be throwing out the first pitch for the Red Sox-Yankees game at Fenway Park for a playoff game.
I still don't know if you're actually trying to say it or not.
I am going to say it.
Okay, I'm going to say David Ortiz, but that seems too obvious.
No.
All right, too obvious.
No, Pedro was yesterday. Pat, says you know, Pat, you know this?
I was going to say Ortiz or Brock Holt.
No.
Okay,
no.
Jeez.
I swear they were in
God forbid I guess in a guessing
conversation when we were talking about this.
God forbid I guess in a guessing game.
How dare you? No. The co-author, Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly.
I mean, like, tell me. And I'm not just saying this because I may have a business relationship with the guy, but and he may or may not be wearing baseball isn't boring jumper suit while he's doing it. But tell me that isn't perfect. Perfect. You have the guy who instigated the Tyler Austin fight, beat down a Yankee, right? Correct? And then on top of it, trash talked the Yankees all over the place last year, which so much so that Brian Cashman had to actually respond to it at the GM meetings. Aaron Boone had to respond to it in spring training. This is the guy who you have to throw out the first pitch. Am I wrong?
That's great.
You're an ideas man, Rob. That is.
Now, if the Red Sox don't do this, I'm just going to call them out right now. Now, if the Red Sox don't do that, this, and pay for the Spirit Airline plane ticket for Joe Kelly to come here, they don't do this, then they're just being chicken. They're just being chicken because they're like, oh, we don't want to upset the Yankees because he tried to. No. They're just being chicken. Like I said, Cleveland, Daniel Peck. By the way, Daniel Peck, do you guys remember that? You were really young.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in case people forget, Daniel in the ALCS, 2007 ALCS, in game five, a game CeCe Sabathia versus Josh Beckett, Red Sox down 3-1. Cleveland rolls out Josh Beckett's ex-girlfriend to not only sing the national anthem, but then to sing God Bless America while facing Beckett. Beckett is standing on the mound. She's at home plate staring at him singing God Bless America. That's what Cleveland did. And they actually, the person that Daniel Peck took the place of, anybody?
Oh, I know this.
Was it Taylor Swift?
It was Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift. So Cleveland does that. They can say what they want. They knew what they were getting into. You know what you're getting into. You got to do this. Right? Correct?
Correct.
And you know what you got to do to do it? You got to get the home playoff game. Got to get the home wild card.
That's it?
I mean, must win two games. It's all connected.
If you want, we are setting this up. We can only put you in position to succeed. We can only do what we can do. We give the motivational speech from Gordo, right? Correct? We give you that. They're playing in the clubhouse. They're getting fired up. Then we give them the Black Swan idea. Of like the not necessarily Fat Joe, that didn't work out well. But Ice Cube walking out for the Dodgers, collabing with Lil Wayne, another Red Sox fan, doing that. Then Joe Kelly coming in and throwing out the first pitch. All of that is what dreams are made of, right? Can you imagine how hyped the crowd would be for that if you ever won a playoff game at home?
It'd be great if they had someone stand in the box and have Joe drill him for the first pitch.
I will take. I'll do that.
There we go. That is advertising right there.
Yeah.
He'll take full speed Joe Kelly fastball.
Whatever it takes. I mean, he did throw a 95-mile-an-hour pitch past his 5-year-old son the other day. So.
Wow.
Why not? Okay. Am I wrong about any of this?
No.
And what this all comes back to is that sure, you guys are saying this is the most important two games. These are must win two games. We're looking at strength of schedule. We're looking at the lineup. We're looking at the pitching. We're looking at whatever it is. What this comes back to is that, yeah, this show started with doom and gloom, fellas. But really what we have to say, this is the opportunity. This is the opportunity to actually have nice things. Can't we have nice things? That's what I would say when you didn't trade for Merrill Kelly. Can't we have nice things, guys? Cannot we have nice things?
No, you need to keep your sixth best pitching prospect.
Yeah, okay.
No nice things.
All right.
Control your own destiny, Rob. If they just win the ball games, nothing else needs to happen.
Okay, with all that said and done, I've emptied the tank here. I've tried to get you fired up. I don't think any of you yawned during my diatribe, but that was a step in the right direction. All right, starting with Sammy, what is going to happen? Here's the thing. Not today, not tomorrow, but next time we do the show. We're doing the show next Saturday. And then the week after, then the final regular season show, and then who knows what type of extravaganza we have for the playoff. a week from now when we do this show, what will be happening with the Red Sox?
It's going to be a very similar conversation, but more urgent. There's no team that's running away with it right now. You look around the league, you know, if you're a Red Sox fan, you don't feel great about how they're playing, but the teams around them aren't exactly, you know, blowing you away either. So I think it's going to be a similar convo, but ratchet up the urgency times 10.
Okay, Gordo?
Well, I've got them winning these next two games. They're must-win games, and I've got them winning them. It's going to put them a half game up, and we're going to get here next week. I don't know the situation with the off days, but it's going to be separated by a game or maybe even it's going to be tight.
Okay, it's so, still going to be tight heading into last week.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Right, it's going to be within striking distance.
Oh, yeah.
Not the division, but the Yankees.
Yeah.
All roads, the motivation here is to get that home game so we can do all the things that we just said, right? Correct?
100%.
All right, Pat?
Agreed. I think next two games, Gordo said it, must win. I think they win both. If they don't, I'm going to panic a lot. A lot. I'm going to panic a lot.
All right, you all right?
Never.
Yeah.
Never right. Panic.
Sorry. I almost started to panic.
Yeah.
I've refused to imagine the world where they don't win.
All right. I will say this. We've done shows, and I remember doing a specific show. I think it was a Tom Hanks show where we said, how do they ever score another run? Like, there's these games where we're just like, how will they ever score another run? This makes no sense. And then next thing you know, they score 15. I always have that in the back of my mind with this team. I feel like I don't know how. I look at today and Max Fried and this lineup and where it's going and the vibes and everything else. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I do have to give them some benefit of the doubt here. I just do.
That's well put, Rob. You're right. I think back to that. You're 100% right.
I felt so stupid that day.
Yeah.
I mean, we did the show. They go out. We're like, I don't think they're going to score another run the rest of the season. And they literally scored 15, I think.
They destroyed Chris Bassett.
They're going to demolish Max Fried today. And if they don't, I never said that.
Okay. Well, let it be said. Let it be done. All right. Well, Tom, do you feel good about things?
I'm actually very, very nervous about this because I have the over on the win total. And more and more anxious they aren't going to get to it, Bradfo.
All right. Well, I hope that we've motivated you get away from your gambling addiction.
No, it's not an addiction. It's a hobby. It's a hobby. All
right. It's a hobby I can't quit. It's a hobby I can't quit.
Your dad told me
I can quit whenever I want.
Your dad. it just tastes so good. All right, Jason, what do you got?
I'm worried, but I think they're going to hold on.
All right. There you go. There's the optimist. All right, well, I think we solved a lot of the world's problems, guys. Tom, Jason, you did an excellent job. Excellent job across the board. Really appreciate everything you do. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for coming out to Arizona with me. And Pat, you were there in spirit. Sammy, Gordo, Pat, the whole gang, we're going to be back next week. Until then, enjoy the great game of baseball.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.